reading from the prophet Jeremiah. You will be in the right, O Lord, when I lay charges against you. But let me put my case to you. Why does the way of the guilty prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You plant them and they take root. They grow and bring forth fruit. You are near in their mouths, yet far from their hearts. But you, O Lord, know me. You see me and test me. My heart is with you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn, and the grass of every field wither? For the wickedness of those who live in it, the animals and the birds are swept away. And because people said, he is blind to our ways. If you have raced with the footrunners and they have wearied you, how will you compete with the horses? And if in a safe land you fall down, how will you fare in the thickets of the Jordan? For even your kinsfolk and your own family, even they have dealt treacherously with you. They are in full cry after you. Do not believe them, though they speak friendly words to you.
A reading from the Psalms. O Lord, God of my salvation, when at night I cry out in your presence, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like those who have no help, like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a thing of horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call on you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the shades rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your saving help in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? Wretched and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I turn desperate. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dead assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. From all sides, they close in on me. You have caused friend and neighbor to shun me. My companions are in darkness.
That psalm defines darkness. And it's like that. It's like a disease. And people are uncomfortable around it. And it's incredibly lonely. And of all the darknesses in the world, because there's lots of them, I'd say widowhood is probably one of the most profound. And I found myself in that Christmas of 96. And it's a dissolution of a union where you have to kind of enter a journey of self-discovery all over again to find out who you are. I gotta admit, I was a bit thrown by the title of Darkness is My Closest Friend. I might be intimately acquainted with darkness, but I consider it an enemy. It's not a place I want to be. But I wanted to offer hope. And, you know, Christ, if he had, he's acquainted with all of our pains. And as he cried out from the cross, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was his moment of darkness. And he did that in order to bring the light of the gospel to hell, to set the captives free. And our life is going to be messy for all of us. It's going to be full of pain and loss. But it's also full of joys and good things. And if we have to wait on the light in order to get beyond the darkness, that's what we have to do. And that can take patience, long-suffering. I don't think there's any shortcuts to it. But I did find consolation in Romans 5, the first part of it, where it talks about what you gain out of loss. You get, besides patience and endurance and character, it produces hope. And the hope, it says, doesn't make us ashamed, but the love of God is shed abroad. And it has to be more than survival. We have to heal and move on. And I have had contact with hundreds of widows and widowers through the internet. And the danger that I see is people become familiar with the grief, and it becomes like a comfortable blanket. It's because it's all they know. And that's survival. That's not healing. So I want to testify to the fact that the light of God has pierced my darkness. I have healed. I still have a goal. I think that goal is kind of summed up in Psalm 30. It says, "For you have turned for me my mourning into dancing, and you have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." And I think ultimately that's the goal. And so I want to offer you that hope that this present darkness is temporal. And there will be happiness and love and light again in your life. So don't judge it all by just the small slice you get to see today. And this is just a point of interest. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but these lights are asymmetrically arranged. But the shadow is always swallowed by that crack on the wall. Even if you turn on the fixed cans, the same thing happens. It's like the light of God swallows up the darkness. It's kind of the reverse of the light piercing the darkness thing. I've always wondered about that, if whoever set up the lights actually took the time to arrange it that way, or if it was just a happy coincidence. But, you know, let that love of Christ shine in your heart. And give it time. You have to, it's a good title for the service. You have to wait on the light.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we praise you that you give strength for every weakness. Forgiveness for our failures and new beginnings in Jesus Christ. Tonight we come to you seeking new beginnings. Take our prayers up to you this night. From this darkened room and from our darkened hearts. Give us your light, the light that has come into the world. Show us that the darkness did not overcome it. God of all wisdom, our hearts yearn for the warmth of your love, and our minds search for the light of your word. Increase our longing for Christ our Savior, and strengthen us to grow in love, that at the dawn of his coming, We may rejoice in his presence and welcome the light of his truth. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear this reading from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being through him was life, and life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. What a profound passage, this prologue to the Gospel of John, with its images of the Word and of light and of the glorious beauty of the gospel. It's no wonder that it is so often proclaimed and read on so many bright and sunny Christmas mornings, and so fits the vivid majesty of any Christian and Christmas worship. But it is also a story for this night, because it acknowledges the darkness of the world. For some of us, this time of the holidays, when others seem to have no trouble finding the light of Christ, it's a time when we struggle the most to escape the darkness. After all, we don't have to look far to find darkness in our world. Every day, it seems, we turn on the news and hear another tragic story. Those breaking news graphics on cable news stations never seem to stop, and this year was no different. There was the oil spill in the Gulf, and natural disasters in all corners of our country and around the world. There were continued economic crises, felt so deeply right here in our own community, in our congregation. There was the violence of war halfway around the world, and violence in homes halfway down the block. Often the darkness is not just in the headlines, though. Often it is much closer to home. The darkness creeps into our lives as marriages wither, or as family relationships and friendships that we once held dear now seem to be broken beyond repair. Sometimes the darkness comes with a doctor's diagnosis of cancer or with the death of a loved one. But John tells us that the darkness did not overcome. It is not final. It does not snuff out the light. The darkness is not victorious. John tells us of a true light coming into the world, a true light that illumines everyone. At the very beginning of his gospel, where the other gospel writers tell of the genealogy or of the birth or of the baptism of Jesus, John tells us of this Word through whom the whole world came into being. John tells us that this Word who is God is the light of all people, a light that shines in the darkness, and a light that the darkness cannot overcome. This light is the Messiah foretold by the Hebrew prophets, the great light seen by the people who once walked in darkness. This light is the baby that Mary carried in her womb, whose kingdom the angel Gabriel said would have no end. And the infant king in the manger in Bethlehem that the wise men and the shepherds came to worship. This light is the Word that became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. This light is the light that overcame death on a cross. It broke through at the glorious dawn of Easter morning, resurrected by the power of God the Father to resurrect the hope of Jesus' followers and our hope. This light is the light that shines in the darkness. But the darkness did not, has not, and cannot overcome it. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the beauty and the emotion of Christmas and this talk of the light and of our Savior and the miracle of the Incarnation. It's easy to think that there must be something wrong with us if there is still darkness in our lives. But such is not the promise of Christmas. The promise of Christmas is not that we will never again face trouble or hardship, or that our lives will somehow be made perfect right now. The promise of Christmas is that the darkness does not seize the light. The promise of Christmas, right here in John 1, is that the Word became flesh and lived among us. The promise of Christmas is that God came to us, that we have a Savior who knows our pain, who knows our darkness, but whose light is not overcome. The darkness is not gone yet. But in Christ, we have with us one who knows that darkness and who stays with us through that darkness. The Word became flesh and lived among us. God is with us and for us in Jesus Christ and knows what we go through in our darkest times. By becoming human and living and dying, Jesus knows the pain of suffering and of death, of sorrow and loss and does not leave us. We reflect Christ's light in our common life together. The light of Christ shines on us as we gather for worship and as we hear the word read and proclaimed. The light of Christ also meets us in the sacraments, in the living water of the baptismal font, and in the bread and wine at the table. He is present in our worship together. And he is present in our lives out there, as we're sent into the world to testify to the light. At times out there, it's very hard to find that light. Sometimes it's bright, but often, this time of year, it's just a small flicker of light. But then we see it, and we receive it, and in turn we reflect it toward others, testifying to the light in little ways in our day-to-day lives, in daily chores for our family, like doing the dishes or paying the bills or folding the laundry, or shoveling snow, and sending kids off to school or our spouse off to work with a hug, we have countless opportunities to reflect the light of Christ. Each added reflection of Christ's light into the world spreads and amplifies his light. Each kind word or deed to a friend or to a stranger may just be the far-off flicker that someone in deep despair needs and finally sees that makes them know that the darkness does not overcome the light. And so this Advent, this Christmas, during these dark days of winter, we remember and we proclaim this light who has come into the world. We don't deny that there is still darkness among us, but we bear witness to light's victory over darkness, to Christ's victory over sin and death. The light has come into the world, and the darkness did not overcome it. Thanks be to God.